Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
View this morning with Dr. John Coben. We're glad that you've joined us this morning here in Greenville, South Carolina. It is 73 degrees, as well as Spartanburg, Clemson, and Anderson. Today we've got patchy dense fog this morning, mostly sunny skies. Patchy dense fog with mostly sunny skies this morning, then partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the mid-90s, light and variable winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles an hour this afternoon, and a chance of rain is at 40% today. So be prepared for that as you make your way out to work this morning. Glad you joined us today on Christian Worldview. As always, we have on tap for you some interesting things to discuss, some great news stories that are going on. Well, not necessarily great in terms of good, but, you know, interesting things to think about, to say the least. Well, Fox News, as a matter of fact, has a Lincoln Memorial video that says could become more conservative. Now, here's an interesting take on things. Friday, July 1st, 2005, that's the date today, by the way, in case you didn't know. Washington, the National Park Service, sought out footage of conservative right-wing demonstrations to revise the video shown to visitors at the Lincoln Memorial after being pressured by conservatives who complained that the display implied Abraham Lincoln supported abortion, homosexuality, and liberal causes. Park Service documents released under the Freedom of Information Act show officials purchased a video of President Bush, pro-gun advocates, and a pro-Iraq war rallies, and also considered removing images of Democratic former President Clinton at the memorial. Park Service officials said they wanted the video to be politically balanced, but refused to provide a copy of the revision to the Associated Press, saying it was still being evaluated. The current 8-minute video, which has been viewed by millions of visitors since 1994, was created by the Park Service in an unprecedented collaboration with high school students around the country. It shows Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, presidential visits, and glimpses of dozens of protest marches at the memorial on the hall. Students and teachers who collected money to pay for the project and worked with the Park Service a decade ago said they were surprised by the effort to give their display a more conservative touch. The Lincoln Memorial is America's soapbox, said Eileen M. Morgan of Los Angeles, who is a Scottsdale, Arizona high school student, helped to organize the project. This is where people have stood to get America's attention. That's what we're trying to capture. The service has spent about $20,000 revamping the video and buying footage, including some from the Associated Press, after conservative political groups criticized the current display and organized a campaign of petitions and emails demanding changes. The video gave the impression that Lincoln would have supported abortion and homosexuality, said the website of Reverend Lewis Sheldon's Traditional Values Coalition. It cited footage showing events at the memorial staged by abortion and gay rights supporters and war opponents, but no similar footage from Christian and conservative interests. Absent from the video were any Promise Keepers marches or marches for Jesus rallies at the Capitol. The video was totally skewed to present only a leftist viewpoint, and the website said. Andrea Lafferty, executive director of Sheldon's group, said Thursday, "It's clear the department knows there's a problem. We don't know why they haven't dealt with it in a timely manner." Documents about the revision were released to two liberal advocacy groups, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility and the People for the American Way Foundation, after they sued under the Freedom of Information Act. Major portions of the 1,500 pages provided to the Associated Press by the groups were blacked out on grounds they included pre-decision information that did not have to be disclosed. This is yet another example of the Bush administration's efforts to turn the federal government into a right-wing propaganda machine, PFAW President Ralph J. Nea said. Now they're trying to rewrite history on the basis of ideology and abuse Freedom of Information Act to conceal the evidence. Park Service Deputy Director Don Murphy disagreed, saying the service has a responsibility to present a balanced approach. We do not respond solely to any special interest group. On February 3rd, 2003, the conservative website CNSNews.com criticized the video, particularly the montage of marchers carrying signs that included, "The Lord is my shepherd and knows I'm gay, ratify the ERA, and keep abortion legal." All right, well, we won't read the rest of this story, but it is interesting to see that some people consider the Lincoln Memorial to be having this video, which is somewhat liberal, and it could be more conservative. Well, of course, Lincoln was a liberal, folks. The idea that Lincoln was, in a modern sense of the term, he wouldn't have been in his day, because to be a classic liberal would be something entirely different than a modern-day liberal. A classic liberal is far closer to a libertarian, essentially the same thing as a libertarian of today. Lincoln would not have been that, for sure. Lincoln was pro-central bank, pro-using government to help business. Lincoln was in favor of a foreign policy that was interventionist. He was in favor of violating the Constitution and making it fit and suit his personal power goals and the power goals of some business elite. Lincoln went out of his way to be subversive to the traditional values of freedom that were espoused by Thomas Jefferson and George Mason, Patrick Henry, and the rest. He was, in the modern sense, a liberal. There's no doubt in my mind that he was. And this video showing that Lincoln would have supported these things is probably actually right. But nevertheless, it's not historically accurate. Obviously, Lincoln did not support abortion or gay rights back in 1861 or before that, through the time he died in 1865. Anyway, but Lincoln was clearly not a conservative. Maybe the Republican Party wants to make him into some kind of a conservative, but this is rather preposterous. Time magazine today has a special issue: Uncovering the Real Abe Lincoln, the Secrets of His Political Genius, His Private Struggle with Depression, His Complicated Views on Race, The Strange Saga of His Wife. This is about Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, continues to be one of the great enigmas of U.S. history. Is he really? Who was this towering president? We're just starting to find out. What a joke. We're just starting to find out. Listen, folks, we've known about Lincoln ever since he was around. The leftist agenda has been to cover up what Lincoln was all about. Well, get a copy of Time magazine this week, or take a look at it on the web or wherever you can find this. I've got actually a print copy in my hand that someone handed to me. On page 38 it says, "Finding Lincoln, each generation has reshaped his image to fit its purposes. New scholarship is finally revealing the man behind the icon." When they say new scholarship, this is really offensive once again, because there are books written every year to the tune of dozens of books, four or five dozens of new books on the war between the states every year, on the war of Yankee aggression, the war of Lincoln's aggression, and yet they're saying that now there's new research which is just starting to uncover things. What a joke. Please don't offend us with such poppycock. Well, that's what leftists are good at doing. We're going to get back into this when we come back to the break. Before we go to the break, though, I want to give you just a couple of quick announcements. The Tyranny Response Network is a listener-supported volunteer operation, trying to expand its signal in the upstate of South Carolina. And to do that, the Tyranny Response Network needs your support right now. If you could simply support us this month with a gift of $25 or more, I'll be happy to send you an autographed copy of my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. In addition to that, we'll be happy to send you, if you can contribute $100 or more, the video, Warriors of Honor, about the heritage and legacy of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. You can send your check to TRUE, P.O. Box 151, Piedmont, South Carolina, 29673. You can also go to the website policyofliberty.net. That's my homepage, policyofliberty.net, and scroll down to the bottom of the homepage and you'll find there a link to PayPal, the online payment service, and with PayPal you'll be able to process a payment online with your Visa or MasterCard or any other way that PayPal allows, and make a donation to us. Be sure to include your name and address so we know where to send the books and materials to you, or the video to you. We really appreciate your help this month. It's a great effort, and we need your support to continue our work. The phone number this morning to call in if you want to discuss Lincoln or any other thing we talk about on the show is 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try us on the backup line, 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We've been reading the Bill of Rights a little bit every day for the last couple of weeks, I think, or on and off at any rate. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, that's the Sixth Amendment Bill of Rights, says the following. "In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense." That's what the Constitution says, Article 6, the Sixth Amendment, Bill of Rights. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. John Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, and Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started, 864-268-0576. If you also have a small business, we'd encourage you to place an ad in the Times Examiner. Low-cost ads that are very effective are available and help support this paper's noble cause. If you can simply give a call to salesman David at 864-244-6464, that's 864-244-6464, ask for David specifically and put your ad in the Times Examiner today. Well, we're talking about the Lincoln, that is, the true Lincoln, as Time magazine has it. And if you read through this article, it says this: he was underestimated as president, then turned into an icon at his death. Only now are historians discovering the personal and political depth of the leader who saved the nation. Well, these are lies, but anyway, we'll read on here without a whole lot of comment until it just boils up inside me where I can't contain anymore. Joshua Wolf Schenck, who is the one who wrote this: we don't outright invent history, but it's often made by the questions we ask. Few figures have provoked more questions than Abraham Lincoln, both because his broad importance and his fantastic complexity, and few figures have proved so malleable. At times, the bearded man in the stovepipe hat seems much like a hologram, a medium for fears and fantasies. Recent claims that Lincoln was gay, based on a tortured misreading of conventional 19th century sleeping arrangements, resemble the long-standing efforts to draft the famously non-sectarian man, right, for one Christian denomination or another. Over the years, he has been trotted out to support everything from communism and feminism to prohibitionism and vegetarianism. But if a figure can be made to stand for everything, does he really mean anything? Today, as we march toward the 2009 bicentennial of Lincoln's birth, and the trove of Lincoln scholarship has become instantly available on the internet, primary material has become newly accessible, and there's a new drive to get him right. We really are in a renaissance of Lincoln literature, notes Harold Holzer, a co-chairman of the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. All the classic works are being updated to and improved upon. All the great themes that hitherto were thought had been dealt with definitively are being re-explored. In popular culture, too, there is a Lincoln boom. And in April, a $150 million Lincoln Library Museum complex opened in Springfield, Illinois. Steven Spielberg has cast Liam Neeson to star in the first feature film on Lincoln since before World War II. But after 140 years of manipulation, can Lincoln's memory ever again find its true shape? Well, this is the question they're asking in Time magazine today, folks. If any of that stuff is annoying to you, let's let you know it's annoying to me as well. You can call us this morning at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Our backup line is also working, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You might also try sending a question by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, what do we think about Abraham Lincoln? Well, the rest of the article continues on as follows. Abraham Lincoln died shortly after 7 a.m. on April 15, 1865. Now he belongs to the ages, Edwin Stanton, Lincoln's Secretary of War, said at the president's deathbed. It was a prescient thought because it suggested not only the long cultural presence ahead for Lincoln, but also the fact that generations would possess him. From the start, his memory was molded to serve a purpose. When telegraph wires checked with the news that Lincoln had been shot at Ford's Theater, the nation was facing the monumental and confounding task of restoring peace after 4 years of broiling war. Lincoln had thought both North and South were complicit in the shame of slavery. He even suggested in his second inaugural address that God may have brought this terrible war to punish both regions, urging the nation to bind up its wounds with malice towards none, with charity towards all. He wanted reconciliation, but eulogists struck a different note. With a sentimental tip of the hat to the fallen leader, many northern journalists, preachers, and politicians actually tried to use Lincoln's death to stoke the fires of vengeance. If rebels can do a deed like this and to the kind, good, and generous, tender-hearted ruler, whose every thought was purity, exclaimed Benjamin Butler. Oh, yeah, the right-to-rape guy, folks. Yeah, sure. Benjamin Butler, who issued the right to rape order in New Orleans, is talking about Lincoln being the kind, good, generous, tender-hearted ruler. I don't know how anybody can stand to I guess if you're just completely duped by the public school system, you can sort of tolerate this stuff and actually believe it. Anyway, to crowd in New York City, he's spoken to a crowd in New York City, whose every desire and yearning for forgiveness and peace, what shall be done to them in high places who guided the assassin's knife? The crowd began to chant, "Hang them, hang them." The assassination Northern leader saw had a great political value. His death, noted a caucus of Republican congressmen, is a godsend to our cause. Yeah, you almost wonder if they even didn't fix the assassination themselves. It's such a godsend to get rid of Lincoln. Well, what do we think about Abraham Lincoln? Well, what we think about him is that he was the most evil president we've ever had. And we also think that Abraham Lincoln was driven on by very evil men under him, such as the one mentioned at the beginning of this article, Edwin Stanton. Remember the memorial of villainy we had not too long ago on Memorial Day, where we memorialized various villains in U.S. history. Two of them included Abraham Lincoln and Edwin Stanton. Edwin Stanton was a hard-driving, selfish, and power-hungry Secretary of Defense. And he promulgated Lincoln's war with utmost brutality and ruthlessness. As far as Edwin Stanton goes, was concerned, or Lincoln, the Constitution was just not that important. It could not be messed with or worried about or bothered with to stand in the way of their agenda to promote the good of the war governors, northern industry, by maintaining the tariff barrier in the South and by maintaining centralized power in Washington. They wanted a complete rewrite of the principles of the Founding Father in favor of a strong centralized state and welfareism in America. And that's what they got. And Edwin Stanton was clearly an evil man just by reading his own diary, one can see this. At any rate, he also mentions Butler here, and Butler was another evil man, a general who was basically attacked or offended by the women of New Orleans. And what happened is they pretty much sacked New Orleans at the beginning of the war of Northern aggression. And as they began to roam the streets with their soldiers, the women in defiance, the men were of course often to war for the large measure, the women in defiance would take their chamber pots full from their night's use of toileting and pour them out upon the heads of the soldiers as they passed by underneath. As a result of this, Butler issued an order which Lincoln condoned that said, if any woman treats a Union soldier like this, she is to be treated as a woman of the night, a prostitute, and therefore there was a right to go ahead and rape her, treat her with much sexual abuse. This is the kind of kind, compassionate person Butler was, as well as Lincoln. And there are many other tales we could tell about this man. If you have some of your own tales to tell, please give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we try to do that, including hurling the Abraham Lincoln cult with great force and all the cultists that follow along with him. What do we think about old Lincoln? Well, there are fine photos of the man promulgating a war, but going to different places, different battlefields, who was vastly upset by the fact that he couldn't actually win the war, that his generals were constant bunglers and so forth. Well, Time magazine says, in order to appreciate Lincoln's significance for our time, we have to understand his time and how he lived. Well, that's certainly true. We also have to get the facts right about what Lincoln was all about. Lincoln was a crafty, shifty politician. Lincoln was one who, in southern Illinois, promoted slavery, thought the black race was an inferior race, thought that blacks should be sent off to Liberia or to the West Indies, repatriated elsewhere in other parts of the world, and gotten out of his hair. He was not a man who enjoyed or thought about much for equality of blacks or even for the liberty of blacks. He could take or leave the slavery issue as long as he could have his political power. In the North, when he was speaking in Chicago, Lincoln would be very pro-abolition and try to fan the flames of those folks in the Republican or the Radical Republican Party, which is really a leftist organization at the time, essentially, and try to get these people all fired up about Lincoln's about his cause. So in the North, he was anti-slavery. In the South, he was pro-slavery, and at best was in favor of repatriating black slaves elsewhere. He also was someone who was willing to violate the Constitution, imprisoning people who had not committed any crimes except to oppose him philosophically, either by their newspapers or speeches, or by voting against him in various legislatures, including the state of Maryland and the state of Missouri. He would imprison people. He would exile people. Lincoln would suspend the writ of habeas corpus, threaten Supreme Court justices, declare war against the South without an act of Congress. In every way, for Lincoln, the Constitution was just a trivial thing that could be set aside without any difficulty. I mean, why be bothered with the Constitution after all? It certainly was not something that had to be that much of a binding effect upon him as far as Lincoln and his cronies were concerned. So the Times Magazine article is rather annoying to me. Here's a couple other pieces from this, I suppose. Let me just jump ahead a little bit and talk a little bit about the black issue if I can. In retrospect, one of the high points of the Lincoln legend has also marked its breaking point. This is page 41, the bottom. In August 1963, the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom gathered in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. began his landmark I Have a Dream speech by paying homage to Lincoln. 50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon of light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering justice. It came as a joyous daybreak the long night of captivity. For decades, African Americans had not only remembered Lincoln kindly, but also invoked him as a present-day force. The rise of Jim Crow segregation in the South, explains Alan C. Guelso, occurred hand-in-hand with the efforts of Southerners to downplay the significance of slavery both for the war and Lincoln, and blacks battled back by keeping slavery and Lincoln's image as a great emancipator in the forefront of the nation's memory. A common folktale in the mid-20th century South, which Lead Belly poignantly rendered in a song recorded in the early 1940s, had Lincoln rising from the dead, coming down, and bringing justice to the Jim Crow South. But as the civil rights movement shone in a spotlight of inequality and discrimination, Lincoln's image came in for a beating. The myth of Lincoln as a black man's best friend was heard to square with his own words from the Lincoln-Douglas debates, that he had no purpose to introduce political and social equality between the white and black races, and that there is a physical difference between the two, which in my judgment will probably forever bid their living upon the footing of perfect equality. In 1968 piece for Ebony, was Abe Lincoln a white supremacist? Lerone Bennett Jr. presented Lincoln, who often told racist jokes and who well into his presidency urged that free blacks should leave the U.S. for another continent. 3 decades later, Bennett returned to the theme in his book Forced into Glory, which became a bestseller in black interest bookstores. any rate, this whole issue about Lincoln and blacks has been completely twisted in history. One only needs to go into the internet, folks, and search for the Emancipation Proclamation and find out. After you read it, just read the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, right between the War of Northern Aggression, right in the middle of it, 1863. It was announced in January. It freed only states in rebellion, the slaves in states in rebellion, and excluded those portions of those states which were under federal control, places like New Orleans and parts of Charleston Harbor, perhaps, that still might have had a northern fort in which they could control. Slavery was allowed there. It was also allowed in the northern slave states of Delaware, Maryland, what would become West Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri. All of those states were slave states, and people until throughout the war, even in spite of the Emancipation Proclamation, were allowed to maintain their slaves. That should tell you enough right there that Lincoln didn't care about freeing the slaves. He's trying to decide a rebellion in the South with an uprising of blacks. But it didn't work. Many blacks fought side by side with their masters in the South against the North. They didn't want the aggression that was coming down. And there were certainly blacks who escaped and ran away, but the whole idea that blacks were just rejoicing because of what Lincoln said in mass in the South is simply not true, if they even knew about the whole thing, and many, many didn't. Many fought side by side with their southern masters. In addition to that, we had many free blacks in the South. People don't realize that quite often. There were people who were not enslaved who were still black in the South, and those blacks actually owned other blacks. This is especially true in Mississippi and Louisiana, as well as elsewhere in the South. And so these people obviously had no interest in being degraded through the Lincoln policy. So it's much more complicated than this story wants to lead on, and certainly slavery was not the crown reason for the war between the states or the War of Northern Aggression. It was a war for Lincoln's mastery and dominance over the whole country, and a strong centralization of the government, the derogation of the Constitution, and the pulling down of the liberties we had enjoyed at that point for several decades. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for our quick our top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that'll help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian Worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in Greenville, Spartanburg, 76 degrees, 74 degrees in Anderson and Clemson this morning. Patchy dense fog this morning, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the mid-90s. Light and variable winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain is at 40%, so be prepared for that as you make your way out. Remember our phone number this morning, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955 is our backup line. Spent the whole first half hour of the show talking about the Lincoln business, cover of Time magazine, also the lead story on Fox News, and rewriting history and rewriting about Lincoln as people, the truth is starting to come out in mass and people are starting to realize this guy was not who he was. Or you have the neocons and the leftists trying to save face, and the conservatives are trying to claim him for themselves and rewrite him as something he wasn't at all. And so we discussed all that in the first half. We're going to move on to some different issues now. I've got too many other important things going on, but we'd be happy to talk about it if you want to call in and discuss Lincoln again with us here on the show today. Well, one of the headlines this morning is on Fox News is politicians are seeking to tighten the eminent domain rules. Of course, the disastrous case with the Kello case, where property rights can be taken for just any reason. The House of Representatives voted Thursday to try to restrict the effect of what has proven to be a highly controversial Supreme Court ruling that found that private property can be taken for private development if government authorities decide it would benefit the larger community. The House passed the amendment to the Treasury Transportation Spending Bill, 231 to 189. What's interesting is that the upstate representative, Bob Inglis, voted against this bill. I'm going to double check that. I'm looking at the Fox News site here. He's listed under the no's, I believe. Yes. Bob Inglis, South Carolina, voted against this. Why did he vote against this? This is very interesting stuff. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, the Republican from Texas, says he believes the Supreme Court issued a horrible decision. In the post-Kello world, someone could knock down on your door and tell you that the city council has voted to give your house to someone else because they have nicer plans for the property, DeLay said. With a growing bipartisan support, the House voted for a piece of legislation that could undo the impact of the Supreme Court decision. The amendment, sponsored by Representative Scott Garrett, Republican from New Jersey, would cut off federal funding to any government entity that uses the expanded eminent domain power to take land for economic development projects. Congress has used this approach before. I think this is a case in point, is that the Hyde Amendment that denied Medicaid funding on abortions. House Judiciary Committee Chairman James Sensenbrenner, Republican from Wisconsin, said Roe versus Wade was a constitutional decision of the United States Supreme Court, but they also held the Hyde Amendment constitutional in that the Constitution, Congress does not have the power to, and purse, that it does have the power of the purse, can decide what to fund and what not to fund. The measure will be offered by the Senate, in the Senate, by Senator John Common, from the Republican from Texas. We'll be working together to accomplish this goal, to rein back this broad interpretation of the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution in a way that protects all of us from the awesome power of government to take private property for private uses, Common said. The Republicans have pushed the amendment. Key Democrats like Representatives John Conyers of Michigan, Peter DeFazio of Oregon, and Maxine Waters of California have signed on as co-sponsors. That's pretty amazing. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, lined up against this measure. When you withhold funds from enforcing a decision of the Supreme Court, you are in fact nullifying the decision of the Supreme Court, Pelosi says. That's exactly the point. Those in Congress upset by the Supreme Court decision say, they say they believe very few state and local governments would be willing to risk losing federal funding in order to help a developer finance a private project. That's an interesting backdoor approach to eliminating this problem. It is very curious why Bob Inglis, the Republican from the upstate of South Carolina, voted against this. I'd like to hear what he has to say, and it seems like he's lined up with the hard left on this one. A very sad thing. Only 350 apparently voted at all on the bill, and Inglis was voting against it. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Go to tyrannyresponse.com, folks, if you need a phone number or an address, something that's been mentioned here, and you're driving along and don't have time to write it down. Most of the information you need is right there on the website, tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Remember, this Saturday, 12:30, the Carolina Patriots meet across from the Greenville Mall at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road. Hope you can attend there for this great meeting on the 4th of July weekend. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back after this break.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview, speaking about this great issue of property rights that's gone on in the Kello case and this backdoor approach the House of Representatives has approved this morning without Bob Inglis's support to help circumvent the rigidity of and the severeness of this ruling of the Supreme Court. We've also been at work, those of us in the upstate who love liberty, in sort of a unified effort of many members of the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. We have been. I was asked to draft a petition that we will put online, perhaps even today, or hopefully sometime this weekend, if not today, about the rights that we have. And I'm going to read to you the second draft that we've come up with through discussions with different folks here for crafting this petition. We want it to be set up as a resolution in each state legislature, and then eventually have the federal government make a resolution itself about it. Here's what it says, and of course, this is for South Carolina. It could easily be applied and adapted by changing the word South Carolina to the name of any other state. "We, the people of South Carolina, hereby declare and affirm that the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness, set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment Bill of Rights to the Constitution, are fundamental rights, which were derived antecedent to the existence of the state, as manifest in both the United States federal government and the state of South Carolina. As such, the state does not grant rights to life, liberty, and property. On the contrary, the primary reason that government is formed is to protect rights to life, liberty, and property, and no South Carolinian or American holds his fundamental rights at the pleasure of the state. Furthermore, we, the people of South Carolina, declare and affirm in particular that all human beings are equal sharers in the right to life, and that the state may not abridge the right to life of any particular human being or class of human beings without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a capital offense. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to liberty, and that the state may not forcibly enslave, conscript, or incarcerate a human being without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a crime. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to hold and enjoy property so long as their pursuit of happiness does not infringe upon the rights of other human beings, and the state may not take private property without due process of law or take it for public use without just compensation. Such public uses include highways, dams, bridges, government office buildings, and military installations, and similar projects. Other uses, such as increasing local tax revenues, clearing urban blight, removing church buildings, promoting urban development, and similar proactive public interest or public welfare schemes, are not contemplated in the phrase for public use. The phrase just compensation refers to market value based on comparable properties and would not preclude the government from paying relocation expenses. This is the petition we're gonna set forth as a resolution. We're hoping that all South Carolinians will sign the thing, as well as other people in other states who wish to have a similar opportunity. And at any rate, this is a great effort that we're trying to put forth here with the Christian Worldview Show, as well as the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to the Christian Worldview Show. Remember, our phone number here is 864-201-6955. That's our backup line. You can also call us at 864-244-8177, our primary line. That's 864-244-8177. And as a matter of fact, we have a caller on the line now. We'd like to go to the phones right now. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with? Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview. Well, we seem to have lost our caller, folks. If you've just called the show, go ahead and give us a call back. If you're having trouble on that line, give us a call at the main line, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177, and we'll try again. Moving right along here, some other things. National Center for Public Policy Research and the Property Rights. Property rights advocates brace for another betrayal. Like the Kelso decision, ESA reform may place special interests above property rights. Still reeling from the Supreme Court decision of Kelo versus City of New London, property rights advocates are bracing themselves for another betrayal of private property rights, this time from the GOP-controlled Congress, according to the National Center for Public Policy Research. In its June 23rd decision, the court ruled, as Justice Sandra Day O'Connor noted in her dissenting opinion, that any property may now be taken for the benefit of another private party. The beneficiaries are likely to be those citizens with disproportionate influence and power in the political process, including large corporations. Business interests may again benefit at the expense of small property owners through Endangered Species Act reform if leaked draft language obtained by the National Center from a journalist is any indication. One of the purported provisions calls for compensation when ESA regulations diminish the value of a person's property, but only if it is devalued by at least 50%. There are a lot of folks who have a problem with letting government take 49.9% of their property, a civil right, before anybody cares, said David Ridenour, vice president of the National Center of Public Policy Research. Those with large land holdings may be able to afford this, but the little guy just can't. If you're what do you mean large guys can afford it? Nobody can. If you're a small property owner, I don't know how you can look at this as anything but a betrayal. It's doubtful that even this modest level of compensation would end up in a final bill. Even if it does, compensation may still be out of the reach for many property owners, including those whose property diminishes in value by more than half because they simply can't afford the cost of all the bureaucratic hoops they must jump through in order to file a successful claim. Another purported provision would vastly expand the scope of the ESA to regulate so-called invasive species. If true, this would represent a major assault on private property rights. Invasive species are the species that have expanded beyond their normal distribution. Under this definition, almost anything could qualify for regulation. Tall fescue, for example, a grass commonly used by homeowners for their lawns, could qualify. Any regulation of invasive species never before regulated under the Endangered Species Act would be a step toward the government telling Americans what they can use for their lawns, what flowers they can have in their flower beds, and what vegetables they can plant in their gardens. R.J. Smith, a noted conservation expert, says this will extend the reach of the ESA to draconian or cruel lengths, giving almost unlimited power to regulate land since almost all private and public land in America contains non-native species. Well, okay, this is a terrible thing. We do not want to have these kinds of rules go through, and we appreciate the National Center for Public Policy Research pointing out that this thing is about to go in there. This business of the Republicans betraying us once again will be of no surprise. We even saw Bob Inglis this morning, Republican from South Carolina and upstate, vote against this, curtailing the Supreme Court's decision in the Kelo case. So we appreciate this input. We need to keep these people in our sights, folks. They're trying to deprive your natural rights, your God-given rights, and you need to bump them out of office. That's the first line of defense against these kind of folks. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Hold on. And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this afternoon, or this morning. It's not afternoon yet. We have a caller on the line now. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with? Number five. Hello. There we have you on the line now. Welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning. This is Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Chuck. Nice to hear from you again today.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you, too.
Well, this morning we've had all sorts of discussions about the Time magazine article on Lincoln, which over the first half hour of the show seems to consume that, as well as the Fox News story about them trying to make him more conservative than he was. And then we've had this whole business about property rights again come up, and we've been discussing that, and Bob Inglis voting to side with the Supreme Court justices that approved this bill, or approved this ruling. So that's been the hot topics for the day so far. What's on your mind, Chuck?
Well, those are interesting. I'll have to check out the Time article. And I haven't been able to get the signal, so I was hoping to find out what you're talking about. Yeah, I was curious if you had heard about this guy offering to create a hotel, the Lost Liberty Hotel.
Yeah, we talked about him on the show a couple days ago. As soon as he's still trying to file it with the Securities and Exchange Commission so other people can begin to invest in it and go after Breyer's property in New Hampshire.
That's a great story.
It was a great story. We were very pleased when we heard that. We wish they did it to all the Supreme Court justices. In fact, why stop with their property? Go ahead and hang them. Any person that's a traitor like this that deserves nothing but hanging, as far as I can tell, denying people's rights like they're doing. I know that's a radical statement, but hey, that's the vision of the founders.
Well, that is. I'd settle for impeachment.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that one, Chuck. We can settle with it for impeachment at this point. There's a petition online that libertarianchristians.org started to impeach them, and I've already signed that. Have you signed that petition yet?
No, I haven't, but that sounds like a great idea. I'll do that.
Yeah, they had thousands of people already sign it, calling for the impeachment of these justices, and it'd be great if it actually occurred. Congress today voted to, the House of Representatives today, without Bob Inglis, who voted against this, believe it or not, the rest of them and the majority of them voted for a bill that would tell any locality, if they had tried to apply the Supreme Court's ruling to their city, they would lose all federal funding for their city as a threat. So they're trying to use a backdoor approach to circumvent the Supreme Court's ruling, which I thought was very interesting. That's also reported on Fox News this morning.
Well, did he say why he voted against it?
It didn't. It just listed him as one of those who voted against it. That's all. It was tacked on to another bill, and I don't know the details of the full details of the other bill. So maybe there was something in the whole bill he didn't like, but he ended up throwing all this stuff together.
Yeah, I can understand the objection to the practice in general. We're pumping more and more money through Washington, and then it's got all these strings attached when it comes back, and I have a problem with that too.
Okay, well, no kidding. Well, I don't know. We have to look in more into what Bob Inglis was all about there, but it looked like he was betraying the cause of the right. It'd be hard to vote against vote against property rights if that's what he did.
Yeah, and they have a problem in Congress too that I'm glad our state has addressed better with our rule that says a bill has one subject, because that's one that makes it very hard to hold them accountable. A lot of times they'll have a bill and it's got eight things in it, and you don't know why they voted for it or against it.
Right, exactly. That's precisely what happens with these mega bills. And there may have been something really offensive in this bill that caused Inglis to vote against it. But hey, I'm telling you, there can't be anything more offensive than property rights destruction. So that's, it's hard to say, you know, how you could just, you know, pass by that glibly. The other thing is, of course, CAFTA passed this morning. We're going to talk about that next on the show as soon as we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. The Senate passed CAFTA 54 to 45, the narrowest margin ever on a trade agreement, but it's still passed. So it's been quite a day so far.
Yeah, busy news week.
It sure.
Well, the Time article, that article in Time, is it a good article?
No, it's pathetic. What would you expect from Time? You know, it's full of lies and nonsense, and it basically says that, well, now that the internet's here, we're starting to uncover things we didn't know about Lincoln before, as if he's been ignoring, you know, the last 100 years of people writing books by the, you know, boatloads. At any rate, that's how it begins, and it does not put Edwin Stanton and Butler in their proper light. You know, got issued the right to rape order. It was a very sad and tragic article, but it's typical of neoconism and a leftist agenda. You can also look at the Fox News article and the headline story about Lincoln.
Okay, well, Fox usually does a better job. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, sometimes. Their article was a little different. They're trying to say that the conservatives are trying to get a film made in their image of what Lincoln should be, rather than what the liberals say that he was. So it's a different angle entirely, by the same theme. Anyway.
Okay. Huh.
All right, Chuck. Well, we appreciate the call this morning. It's coming up to 8:30 here. About time to go to a break.
Okay, good talking to you. You have a good day.
All right, Chuck. Talk to you soon. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web, You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Currently 75 or 76 degrees in the upstate. Well, some places like Anderson and Clemson are 74, but you get the picture, right around there. Patchy dense fog this morning, mostly sunny this morning, and then partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the mid-90s. Light and variable winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour this afternoon with a chance of rain at 40%. So if you're still making your way out to work, that's your weather for the day. Just a reminder that we have been trying to expand the ministry and the efforts of the Christian Worldview Program and the Tyranny Response Network. You can help out by making a donation this month of $25 or more to, and this is the final day of the offer, by the way, $25 or more. It's been extended to July 1st just because this is the end of the week. It will gain you a autographed copy of my book, Bible and Government Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and $100 or more will get you that, as well as a copy of the DVD Warriors of Honor about the legacy and heritage of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Please go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, and you'll find at the tyrannyresponse.com website the information you need to send your donation into the Tyranny Response Network, P.O. Box 151 in Pelzer, South Carolina. It's Piedmont, South Carolina. And you can also send your check, or excuse me, make your payment. The Tyranny Response Unit is flying solo here for a moment. If I sound a little flustered here, it's because I'm trying to go and operate the board at the same time. We have a caller on the line. If you'll just hold for just a second, we'll get right to your call. You can also send your donation by PayPal by going to the policyofliberty.net website and clicking on the PayPal button and going ahead and sending it that way with Visa or MasterCard. Appreciate your support this month as we're trying to support increase our own coverage here in the upstate, and we need more transmission equipment. All right, well, at any rate, this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we have a caller on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Dr. Nelson here.
Good morning, Nelson. It's good to hear from you.
Likewise, enjoying the program after a week of not being able to hear it because I was on vacation with my family in Virginia.
Well, how did you survive? I mean, it must have been difficult not having Christian Worldview for a whole week.
Okay, you're referring to my lack of access to the show, and you're not aware of what highly varying degrees of TR friendliness my immediate relatives exhibit on various days of the week. Ha ha.
Yes,
it was a challenge in several ways. I love them dearly, and I just try to work with them insofar as conditions allow. I'm sure I'm not the only one in the TR audience that can say so. I'm afraid, though, that you may be a little difficult on our illustrious former president, Abraham Lincoln. Do you not feel that anyone who has ever occupied the chief executive's office to deserve our undying and unqualified respect?
You mean in terms of how far I can spit and still land on the casket?
Doctor, you're not being very serious.
There is nothing good about Abraham Lincoln, the man who destroys single-handedly, well, along with his staff.
Wait a minute. Seriously now, he was a Republican, wasn't he?
He was a radical Republican, the first, I believe, to be elected, and a great liberal of his day, a leftist of leftists, a man who undermined all the principles of liberty in this country.
But seriously now, what if a Democrat had been elected?
Well, we were.
Isn't it always worse to have a Democrat than a Republican in office?
Well, obviously not. If you look at Abe Lincoln, FDR was a Democrat, so we have to grant that both of them have been evil people under the party title. But
you're trying to apply logic here. Okay, I see what you're doing. Listen, about Bob Inglis, I'm afraid the reality there is very unhappy. A certain gentleman who was recently heard on the topic of uncensored truth about Bob Jones University at one of our Patriot Network meetings is also a walking encyclopedia on what our local illustrious Republican politicians have done to sabotage freedom and liberty and decency in their office and elsewhere. And we'll have to hear him sometime on the subject of Bob Inglis's numerous sellouts. And may I just attempt to sum the situation up in closing, that generally speaking, a politician, if he is in fact real and conservative and Christian and principled, I think in our circles, amongst the TRN listeners, for example, would be in regular contact with him or her and working with that individual and have no question about where he or she stands, because the positions are out there and known and hated and vilified by the mass media. So I think Bob Inglis is a perfect test case, if my fellow listeners would like to try to put this to the test. He's somebody who exists, as it were, on a different planet from the listeners of this show and our large and growing family of activists in the upstate. We never hear from him. We never find ourselves around the charcoal grill with him, chewing over the issues of the day and strategizing how to work God's will on more of them. He is not, he's a complete question mark to most of our people. They might scratch their head and have to think very hard about anything that he has ever done for the cause of truth or is doing now. Of course, he's famous for having an alleged stand against feticide. I am not aware of him ever having actually taken a stand so as to attract the hatred and rancor of the Greenville News on the matter. I guess folks get the idea, and it's only one man's opinion, of course, but I think there is a pattern there. And thank you, Doctor. Enjoying the show.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Nelson. Appreciate those comments, and I think, of course, you've got some great points about Bob Inglis. In fact, we want to move on to another story here that I mentioned right at the bottom of the hour. Want to go on and continue to read that now. Fox News says that the Senate on Thursday endorsed the free trade agreement with six Latin American nations, handing a major win to President Bush, who promoted the accord as a mark of his U.S. commitment to democracy and prosperity in the hemisphere. The vote was 54-45 in favor of the Central America Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, setting the stage for a final battle in the House where the agreement's many critics have vowed to defeat it. How did our people vote? When I say our people, I'm talking about the thugs that are elected to rule over us by being senators from our area. Well, if you live in North Carolina or if you live in Georgia, both of your senators voted for CAFTA. That's what we know. In South Carolina, Jim DeMint voted for CAFTA and Lindsey Graham voted against it. Talk about another enigma. Lindsey Graham seems to be a sellout in so many things, and here he voted the right way. Why are we opposed to CAFTA? Because this bill will give sovereignty of a hemispheric level over America. It would undermine the American Constitution, American sovereignty, and it is something that must be opposed by all of us who love liberty for those reasons alone. There are other implications of CAFTA which make it disgusting or repulsive to others, but you know, other people. But still, this is the main cause is the loss of liberty. So this is a tragedy that this occurred today, and well, the House vote is probably going to come in July. In fact, it has to come by July 22nd, otherwise it dies on the vine. It's too close to call, accordingly. That's what the Fox News article says. The stakes could hardly be higher, said John McCain of Arizona, a supporter. It is important because at stake is the future of Central America and its economic and political dimensions, and hence the security dimensions. U.S. officials signed an agreement a year ago with Central American countries of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, as well as the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. It needs congressional approval to go into effect, however, and so that's where we stand. Well, Jim Capo sent some of us an email, and Jim Capo wanted to let us know that the Senate has passed CAFTA, of course, and he says the following. Ladies and gentlemen, the bad news, of course, is that CAFTA passed the Senate this evening. The good news is that it was by an even thinner margin than it looks. Prior to CAFTA, the most votes ever garnered against the trade bill in the U.S. Senate was 39. We got an indication of how close the vote was going to be when earlier this evening, North Carolina Senator Richard Burr stabbed us in the back and switched his vote to yes. Right up till this morning, he was telling people he was going to honor what he had been saying with his inclination and vote no. Obviously, sometime today, the Bush administration and the State Department counted up the votes and did not come up with enough in their hands that they could risk letting Mr. Burr honor his pledges to the North Carolina voters. Somewhere in the country, there were likely at least 2 to 3 other senators that were called on the final hour to accept their duty as backstabbers as well. This is how close this CAFTA fight is. Such a last-minute feat is that, and the House will be far more willing to pull, difficult to pull off. Let's pour it on the next couple of weeks and throw the bad guys into total panic over the pending vote in the House. Having been released in the House committee today for the floor vote of CAFTA in the U.S. House, now must occur no later than July 22nd, or CAFTA dies in the vine by default. Okay, so we're going to be supporting this. We'd like to hear from Stephen Yates and others in the upstate here who have really supported this drive to dump CAFTA. And we're going to go ahead and give you all the accolades and help that we can in trying to oppose this horrendous effort by the leftists to globalize America and take away our sovereignty. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're a little bit late for a break, so we're going to go ahead and jump to a breakdown. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're listening this morning. We like to encourage all of you to go to the tyrannyresponse.net website and find out more about Tyranny, the Tyranny Response Network, as well as the Christian View Show. Be supportive, folks, and be patient with us. Our signal quality may be weak in Greenville at the moment, but that will be changing as soon as possible. Things are proceeding along as well as we can with a fledgling organization of volunteers. But, folks, we just want to know we're committed, you to know that we're committed to liberty and truth, and we will do our best to continue to bring you the finest programming we possibly can here on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, here's some food for thought from the Chuck Wagon, from Chuck Baldwin, former pastor and former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. He says, "The United States of America was built upon three fundamental documents, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Taken together, these documents form a basis for all our laws, principles, and heritage. To destroy the principles contained in these documents is to destroy the country. Unfortunately, that's exactly what has been happening for many years now. The destruction of America's founding principles can be directly traced to the country's willful rejection of the Bible as our source of divine authority. America has done more than expel God and Bible from our schools. It has expelled God and the Bible from politics, commerce, and even our very way of life. Should it be any wonder, then, that our founding documents are also being expunged? After all, America's founding documents are themselves predicated upon God and the Bible. The Declaration of Independence states, men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It also states that these rights are self-evident, and they constitute the laws of nature. These principles are taken directly from the Bible. The law of nature can be viewed in Romans 2:14-16, that our Creator is the author of life is seen in Genesis 2:7, that God, not government, grants liberty is seen in Galatians 5:1. The pursuit of happiness is found in Ecclesiastes 3:13. Beyond that, virtually every one of the 10 articles contained in the Bill of Rights has a biblical foundation. The First Amendment recognizes that a natural right of freedom of speech, religion, and assembly. Christians are clearly given divine instruction regarding each of these responsibilities. Our founding documents clearly established, or improperly established, a government designed to secure these rights. Therefore, under the First Amendment, Christians would be free to preach the gospel and assemble for worship. Likewise, the Second Amendment has a biblical foundation. Our Lord said in Luke 11:21, when a strong man keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. In Luke 22:35 and 36, he said, he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Other articles contained in the Bill of Rights also have biblical basis. For example, the Fourth Amendment comes from Deuteronomy 24:10 and 11. The Eighth Amendment originates in Deuteronomy 15:2 and 3. Again, these principles are self-evident truths which come from the laws of nature and of nature's God. Even America's constitutional form of government, consisting in three co-equal branches, legislative, executive, and judicial, is taken directly from Isaiah 33:22. Therefore, when citizens, especially Christian citizens, allow their elected representatives to ignore or violate these founding documents, they are, in essence, allowing them to destroy the very basis and foundation of our country. Christian citizens should demand that their elected leaders not merely talk the talk, but they also walk the walk. To do this, they must determine to hold their political leaders and judges accountable and to the laws and principles contained in the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. However, elected leaders from both parties today are totally ignoring or egregiously violating the laws and principles contained in our founding documents. As such, they are helping to destroy this republic, all of their Christian rhetoric notwithstanding, but that's not their fault. It's ours. By the way, we still have a limited number of freedom documents available. He goes on to give is an ad. Well, at any rate, Chuck Baldwin has done a great job again of pointing out some interesting truths and connection between the principles that are found in the scriptures, as well as those found along with those found in the founding documents of this country. Appreciate that food for thought this morning, Chuck Baldwin, and we hope that you keep up the good work in continuing that sort of thing. Well, we also have a couple of other interesting items coming up today. Let's see, where do we have this one? Here it is. This is from ArcticBeacon.com, an article about the World Trade Center bombing and destruction, terrorist act of 9/11. The WTC basement blast and injured burn victim blows the official 9/11 story sky high. Eyewitness testimony is conclusive that the North Tower collapsed from controlled demolition. World Trade Center janitor pulls burn victim to safety after basement explosion rocks the North Tower seconds before the jetliner hit top floors. Also, two other men trapped and drowning in a basement elevator shaft were also pulled to safety from an underground explosion. This is from Greg Szymanski. This came out on June 24th. What happened to William Rodriguez the morning of 9/11 is a miracle. What happened to his story after the fact is a tragedy. But with miracles and tragedies comes truth, and truth is exactly what Rodriguez brings to the whole mystery surrounding 9/11. Declared a hero for saving numerous lives at Ground Zero, he was the janitor on duty the morning of 9/11 who heard and felt explosions rock the basement sublevels of the North Tower just seconds before the jetliner struck the top floors. He not only claims he felt explosions coming from below the first sublevel while working in the basement, he says the walls were cracking around him and he pulled a man to safety by the name of Felipe David, who was severely burned from the basement explosions. All these events occurred only seconds before and during the jetliner strike above. Through it all, he now asks a simple question everybody should be asking. How could a jetliner hit 90 floors above and burn a man's arm and face to a crisp in the basement below within seconds of the impact? Rodriguez claims that was impossible and clearly demonstrates a controlled demolition brought down the WTC, saying, let's see them, the government, try to wiggle out of this one. Well, they haven't wiggled out because the government continues to act like Rodriguez doesn't exist, basically ignoring his statements and the fact that he rescued a man burnt and bleeding from the basement explosions. His eyewitness account, ignored by the media and the government, points the finger squarely to an official cover at the highest level, since the government contends the World Trade Center fell only from the burning jet fuel, and after listening to Rodriguez, it's easy to see why the Bush administration wants him kept quiet. Bush wants him quiet because Rodriguez's account is proof positive the World Trade Center was brought down by a controlled demolition, not burning jet fuel, and Bush knows if he's caught lying about this or caught in a cover-up, it's just a matter of time before the whole House of Cards comes tumbling down. In fact, Rodriguez's story is so damning, it literally blows the lid off the government story, literally exposing the whole 9/11 investigation as a sham and a cover-up of the worst kind, and appears the cover-up also extends to the media. NBC News knew about this story several years ago, even spending a full day at his house taping his comments, but when push came to shove, the story was never aired. Why? His eyewitness account, backed up by at least 14 people at the scene with him, isn't speculation or conjecture. It's a story that takes a network out of the journalistic limb. On the limb. It's a story that can be backed up, a story that can be verified with hospital records and testimony from many others. It's a story about 14 people who felt they heard the same explosion and even saw Rodriguez moments after the airplane hit take David to safety after he was burnt so bad from the basement explosion. Flesh was hanging from his face and both arms. So why didn't NBC or other major news outlets cover the story? They didn't run it because it shot the government story to hell and back. They didn't run it because the powers that be wouldn't allow it. Since 9/11, Rodriguez has stuck out to his guns, never wavering from what he said that one day, from day one, left homeless at times, warned to keep quiet, and subtly harassed. He nevertheless has continued to tell his message out of the face of a country not willing to listen. And here is his story, they say. In a miracle, Rodriguez, 44, who worked in the World Trade Center for 20 years, is even alive. It's a miracle he's even alive. Usually arriving to work at 8:30 a.m. the morning of 9/11, he reported 30 minutes late. If he'd arrived on time, he would have put him at the top floors just about the same time the jetliner hit the North Tower. It was a miracle. If I arrived on time, like always, I'd probably be dead. I would have been up at the top floors like every morning, said Rodriguez about the quirk of fate that saved his life. Well, we might even say it's providence rather than just a quirk of fate. But since he was late, Rodriguez found himself checking in to a work in an office on a sublevel number one when the North Tower was hit, seemingly out of harm's way. However, the sound and concussion of a massive explosion at the sublevels right below his feet changed that. When I heard the sound of the explosion, the floor beneath my feet vibrated, the walls started crackling, and everything started shaking, said Rodriguez, who huddled together with at least 14 other people in the office. Rodriguez said Anthony Saltamaccia, supervisor of the American Maintenance Company, was one of the people in the room who stands ready to verify a story. Seconds after the first massive explosion below, on the basement, it still rattled the floor. I hear another explosion from way above, said Rodriguez, although I was unaware at the time. This was the plane hitting the tower. It occurred moments after the explosion. But before Rodriguez had time to think, a co-worker, Felipe David, stormed into the basement office with severe burns on his face and arms, screaming for help and yelling, "Explosion, explosion." David had been in front of nearly a nearby freight elevator on sublevel 1, about 400 feet from the office, when fire burst out of the elevator shaft, causing his injuries. "He was burned terribly," said Rodriguez. "The skin was hanging off his hands and arms. His injuries couldn't have come from an airplane above, but only from the massive explosion below. I don't care what the government says, what scientists say. I saw a man burned terribly from a fire that caused from an explosion below. I know there were explosives placed below the Trade Center. It helped a man to safety. It was living proof. And living proof the government story is a lie and a cover-up." Well, this is a great story. Interesting to know. If this is true, this does give some more evidence to many of those who are saying that the World Trade Center was a George Bush cover-up. Well, this has been another exciting edition of Christian Worldview. Couldn't even get close to covering all the stories in the news today because we had so many coming up here that were of great importance, including the property rights case, this World Trade Center case, the CAFTA case, and, of course, the Lincoln issue earlier today. We're glad you joined us, and we look forward to seeing you again on Monday, or if not Monday, Tuesday morning, and we'll hope to get our signal ameliorated over time here as well. Thanks for bearing with us on the Tyranny Response Network, and we again look forward to seeing you again shortly here for Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.